Previously, in A Fond Kiss by Alice Dale, David came to Philippa's house one Saturday morning to help her with Stan's probate. They were totally relaxed in each other's company until she asked him about his wife because of staffroom gossip. But when he started to explain, Philippa became so embarrassed she rushed to make a cup of tea.
Craig continued to avoid his therapy sessions. But Pamela didn't seek him out, although she knew full well he was sitting under the same tree. She was convinced that ignoring him rather than bullying him had a better chance of working, and she was delighted that his mother's letter agreed with her. At the same time, she was frightened she might lose her most interesting patient, and if she were honest, the only one she'd ever been attracted to. So many of the boys she helped developed crushes on her, even some of the married ones, and she had always managed to keep her personal feelings separate from her work. Until now. There was something very special about Craig Stebbings. She kept asking herself what it was. She spent her days helping others to solve their problems by expressing their feelings. Why was she so unable to express her own, even to herself, about this young man? Why did she always find her attention drawn away from the lower part of his scarred face to the sensitive violet blue eyes and thatch of black hair above? Eyes that had seen things the voice was unable to express. She found herself thinking of him every day, wanting to help him, wanting to know all about him, and wanting to love him. As each day went by and he had not returned for his therapy, she became more and more anxious, but still she resisted the urge to seek him out. Regaining his self-confidence relied on making his own decisions, not hers. After 2 weeks, Pamela steeled herself to accept that he was not going to return, and she would be better to ask for a transfer to another ward. Meantime, she decided that during his unused time slots, she would force herself to get on with her neglected paperwork. Then one day, out of the blue, there he was, standing in the doorway of her clinic. She turned from her desk, her heart thumping in her chest, but said nothing. Simply locked questioning eyes on him. Without a word of explanation, he handed her several pieces of sheet music. His hangdog expression said it all. It was his only way of apologising. Taking the music, she grinned up at him with glistening eyes, then said briskly,
"Where did you get these?"
Although she knew, she had never told him she was continuing a private correspondence with his mother, giving her a blow-by-blow account of all his doings. It might have made him angry, but she had told him that letter writing was another challenge he should be meeting, explaining that the time had come for him to write his own replies, as the control of his fingers was improving and they needed the exercise. "Mother sent them," he replied.
"Okay. Let's go to the rec room and see what I can do with these,
she said as casually as possible, and as she passed him, added,
You're quite safe. There's no one in the canteen at this time.
She had no problem sight-reading the music and singing quietly at the same time. At first, he let her do most of the singing, but his love of the music soon overcame his uneasiness, and he joined in. His mother had deliberately included some music he was not familiar with, by way of a challenge. When he reached a part of the new lyric he was unsure of, he sat beside Pam to see the music better. Soon they were happily singing duets, Craig harmonising by ear. And when he sang a wrong harmony, they both stopped and burst out laughing. He turned to look at her. Where did you learn to play like that? Music at first sight.
I was sent to piano lessons when I was 7. At first I hated it, at least I hated the practice, but as I got older and more accomplished, I began to enjoy it, and it ended up my passion in life. I got every encouragement from my music teacher, and for a while I was daft enough to think I might become a concert pianist.
Why didn't you?
My father said it was an insecure profession. I'd be better having a real job. And anyway, I'd end up getting married and waste all that time and money.
She paused reflectively for a second, then rushed on.
My second favourite subjects were drama and speech training.
So what took you into nursing? It seems very different from any of these things. He was almost speaking normally, but she made no comment, just answered casually.
Dad considered that a real job, probably because Mum had been a nurse. But I must be honest, I loved it from the start. And after I landed this job, I saw a lot of young men with your problem.
His eyes opened wide in surprise.
Oh, yes, speech problems are quite common and no one able to help them. So I asked permission to use my speech training as therapy. And you're the first one I've been allowed to help.
His closed lips stretched into a look of embarrassment. He realised he had been thwarting her attempts to help him.
What about you? Where did you learn to sing like that? And don't tell me that voice isn't trained.
It isn't. I've just always sung. My mother was the pianist in our family. He gave a little embarrassed laugh. We used to do party pieces together. She was keeping the conversation going, not only because she was so interested in him, but also because she was delighted at how much less he was stuttering, even although his sentences were getting longer. So she let the questions and answers flow, as they would between two old friends having a relaxed conversation.
As you know, I've stopped opening any of your mother's letters addressed to you, now that you're able to open them for yourself.
Thanks to the letter opener you gave me. I really appreciated that. It made opening her letter so much easier.
It wasn't much of a present for a 21st birthday. I wanted to give you a party, but I didn't think you'd like that. Was I wrong?
No, you were absolutely right. I'd have hated that. But I couldn't believe you'd remembered my birthday and which one it was.
It wasn't difficult. I remembered your mother bringing the apple pie for your birthday last year. Anyway, I'm glad you liked the letter opener. So, what's the news from Glasgow?
Which she didn't need to ask, but she wanted to keep him talking. Mum was giving me a full, if belated, description of Irene's wedding last year. I missed it, of course, he added with a touch of regret. And you know about my father. After a moment, killed in the Glasgow Blitz. He was an air raid warden.
Yes, I remember reading that news to you.
Well, Mum was explaining how brave he was. She noted that any emotion made the stutter worse, and she changed the subject.
So who gave your sister away at the wedding?
Uncle Arthur had to.
Had to? Surely he'd be delighted to.
I doubt it. My mum knew his wife, Auntie Margaret, would have been furious if she'd chosen anyone else.
I see,
she said politely, not really seeing at all.
Anyway, I'm sure your mother knew what she was doing. She seems to be coping well since your father died.
Pretty well, I think. Her letters are always so cheery. She's amazing.
I agree. I took to her immediately. Well, we'd better wrap up this session. Other people will be arriving for a rehearsal soon, and Muggins here was volunteered to play piano.
Rehearsal for what?
The Christmas concert, of course. They've called it Forces to the Fore.
And she secretly hoped he'd never have to say that title. The letter F was still giving him trouble.
Thank you.